It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. A simple way of saying that each season brings its own special moments, and this season is no exception, and we've had some special moments over the last week. I saw my first snow buntings this week, and that's always an exciting thing. I know about a week ago, there was one of the daily phenology reports talked about the first snow buntings coming back. Average for them, again, October 18th. And last year, first ones on the 24th. 2014, I had them on the 19th. I once had them, 2002, I saw my first ones on September 28th. Now, part of the reason that the numbers are a little skewed on those is that I'm not driving 100 miles on my mail route anymore. And when I did that, I covered a lot of ground and I got a lot of chances to look for them. But this year and in the past 7 or 8 years since I've retired, I have had to watch for them along the fields where I live or along my drive to and from town or up to the bog. At any rate, they are very easy to identify. They look white when you see them, the first time you see them, and they're, I have seen an individual, and I've seen flocks as few as three, but more commonly you're going to see 10, 12, 15, sometimes as many as 30, and they're going to be usually in open areas. I almost always see them along the fields, and that is their normal habitat. They come from far north where there are no trees, and they come down here, and they are used to gathering food along field edges and in from weeds and things that grow along fields. And so they are absolutely comfortable hanging out in open fields. And they burrow into the snow when there's snow on the ground. They burrow into the snow and stay hidden that way, stay warm. Many years ago, my neighbor Marvin had a manure pile, and the birds would dive into the snow that covered the manure pile and have it doubly warm, because not only was the snow insulating them, but the manure pile gives off heat. And so these clever little snow buntings figured this out. They spent the entire winter hanging out in that manure pile at night and during the day flying around in the fields and gathering up the seeds that they could gather. So when you see these guys, as I said, it's going to be a flock and there's going to be a lot of white. They are not pure white birds. They are, the males are when they're on their territory in their breeding plumage. But by the time they get down here, they have some gray and brown spots on their bodies. But when you see them in flight, your first impression is going to be, look at those white birds. And they are sparrow-sized. And you will see big flocks of them, and they will be quite white in their appearance. So the snow buntings are back at the beginning of the week, back on the 23rd, I had huge flocks of juncos. Everywhere I went, I saw big flocks of juncos, even in my driveway, in my yard. And now there are still a few around, but nothing like there were. There are also flocks of crows around, and these are like maybe the third group of crows. I mean, yeah, you see a flock of crows, and then a week later you see a flock of crows, and a week after that you see a flock of crows. And generally in that situation, those are migrating groups of crows that are heading south, and so you're seeing really three different populations of crows in a situation like that. Pardon me. A couple of other notes of the bird variety. There were buffleheads on Crooked Lake last week, 8 of them. Beautiful little diving ducks. The males have these big white patches on the sides of their heads. They're quite spectacular. The bald eagles have been coming to the nest, and this is entirely typical. Over the years, They come, of course, in the spring, usually in February. They do a little nest maintenance along about the first part of March. They lay some eggs. First part of April, they hatch the eggs. Then they hang out and they raise that young one. And sometime in July, the young one learns to fly. And shortly after that, usually in August, they disappear. And they're gone until late October, early November. And then they come back and they spend a bit of time at the nest, just sort of hit or miss. They come in usually in the evenings and maybe spend the night. And then in the mornings, they're off and finding food somewhere and doing their usual thing. So the bald eagles are back on the nest from time to time in these last few days. There are many trumpeter swans in the area. I saw a big flock on, I think it's Maple Lake. Maybe it's Blueberry or Blackberry Lake. At any rate, there were maybe 20 of them, and many of them were young. That is, they were gray. The cygnets are gray, and the adults are more pure white. But there were lots of them, and just about every lake you go by right now will have some trumpeter swans on them. They are staging and getting ready to move south. They do not migrate only as much as the ice pushes them. They're perfectly content to stay in cold temperatures as long as they have open water and food. They don't really feel the cold as much as you might think. And my friend Dallas Hudson from Akeley has reported that he has heard the first tundra swans of the year. And typically the tundra swans, these are birds that we see in the spring and fall. In the spring, they're headed north. In the fall, they're headed south. They do not spend any time here other than to pass through both directions. And they have a rather unusual call that's not quite a goose call. And it's not a trumpeter swan call either. They used to call them whistling swans because it's kind of a high little shriek. And if you're out and you hear something that sounds just a little bit off, chances are you're listening to tundra swans, and they will be passing through. We won't see them until next spring once they clear this area and head down. They spend the winter in the Chesapeake Bay area. Of the insects in the last week, red meadowhawk, dragonflies, probably the autumn meadowhawks. Got a good look at one the other day. Red tail, made it a male. The females are brown or golden. The males are red. The body, the thorax, the part behind the head and in front of the abdomen, was very furry on this guy, and it made me realize that, you know, they can take a lot of cold. They will be out active well into November if the weather stays mild. And we are very close to November right now, and if we get a warm day in November where the temperature's in the 50s, I wouldn't be at all surprised to see red meadowhawks flying around. I found a grasshopper on Saturday. Dallas Hudson mentioned that he has seen the orange sulfur butterflies still flying around over in the Akeley area. I have not seen a butterfly for a few days, so I'm not sure there. And deer ticks. And if you were listening earlier this morning, I found a deer tick crawling on me this morning and cut it into three equal parts with my pocket knife. The deer ticks are creating a star map on my back. I have Orion's belt behind my right shoulder, and behind my left shoulder, I lack one bite of having the Big Dipper. I've got a series of bites that looks just like the Big Dipper. And so I'm convinced that they have decided to recreate the heavens on my back by climbing up there and biting me. And it's kind of annoying. I discovered this by standing in front of a mirror with a mirror in my hand. So I've got my back to one mirror, and I've got a mirror in my hand, and I'm looking at the reflection of my back trying to see if I can grab the last deer tick that's back there. But it's been a year for deer ticks, and I live in an area where they are particularly virulent. I was not even in the woods today. And yet I had a deer tick on me. I don't know. It must have dropped off of the sky and just hit me in the back. I don't know. I certainly am attractive to them, apparently. Looking at the trees and the leaves that are still on them, the trembling aspens are bare. The big tooth aspens went bare this week. The trembling aspens went bare about a week ago, and they were probably a week late. And the trembling or the big tooth aspens, they went from brilliant orange in my yard to brown, and now they're just a few clinging leaves as they end their summer or their growing season. The tamaracks have gone past their peak. Dallas Hudson told me that the tamaracks were probably at their peak over in Akeley. They are past their peak in my yard. And this is Tuesday. It must have been Friday. I was out in the bog and the needles were falling off of the tamaracks. It was like rain. They were just constantly hitting you. So they're definitely on their way out. And they're still about 8 to 10 days behind or later than their average for those kinds of things. The other trees out there that I still see with some leaves are cottonwoods, Lombardy poplar, weeping willow, and of course the buckthorn, which will be green right up until the end. And this is a good time of year to start finding the buckthorn on your property. If you have a bush out there with green leaves on it right now, go take a closer look. If there are little black fruits on it, do not eat them. And think about how you might get rid of those things. If you have one or two and they're, you know, of a size, let's say, like less than your wrist for thickness, but maybe bigger than your thumb, cut them off about 3 feet up and then let them sprout. And they will continue to try to recover from that trimming. And they will sprout new branches down below the cut, obviously. And those branches, if you let them get started and then cut those branches off, the tree will set out new branches. And essentially what you're doing is you're starving it. If you just cut it off at ground level, the roots are going to shoot up a million more of these buckthorn. But if you cut it off about 3 feet up and then trim the branches on it every couple of weeks, the tree will keep trying to produce more leaves in order to produce more energy. And if you continually deny it that energy, it will exhaust itself trying to keep up with you. So you have to be sort of dedicated to this, but it will get rid of the buckthorn in your yard. Weeping willows, cottonwoods, Lombardy poplars, those are all introduced species. They're all brought here from somewhere else. If you see a tree now with leaves on it that is not an oak, a red oak, chances are it is from another phenological zone. Maybe it's a red maple, but maybe it came from the Twin Cities or maybe it came from Iowa. But if it still has leaves on it, it is not a native red maple. Among the shrubs, my friend Ann Kapinski has sent me a picture of some downy arrowwood that still had some beautiful burgundy leaves on it. This is the time of year. There are just a few remaining, and the downy arrowwood never gets very tall. 4 feet tall would be a tall downy arrowwood. Well, 5 feet tall, maybe. At any rate, not a very big plant. Dark reddish or reddish blue leaves, kind of burgundy colored, and big teeth on the leaves. So check them out. And if you feel the leaves, they're going to be kind of soft, hence the name downy arrowwood. Blackberry shrubs are probably at their peak right now. I'm fascinated by blackberry. I go out and look at the leaves, and they're beautiful. Some of them are orange red. Some of them are deep burgundy. Some of them are a green that's tending to red. Blackberries are really pretty this time of year. Raspberries, orangey, yellowy, and on their way out. I found quite a few clematis. Now that the leaves are down, the the seed pods on the clematis are quite obvious. They're very fuzzy. They look like these little balls of fluff, like a dandelion gone to seed kind of thing, but in a vine that's hanging on brush. And I discovered way more than I thought I had. These were flowers that I had missed all summer long. Well, actually, you only miss them for about 10 days in May when they are in bloom. But they this time of year, the flower heads are pretty astonishing. Asparagus is turning yellow right now. And if you are interested in harvesting asparagus, now is not the time to do it. Now is the time to go out and mark them, put a little flag by them, and come back in the springtime when they're sprouting, and you will have plenty of asparagus to eat. And they're really easy to find right now because they are bright yellow on their way to even brighter orange. Blueberries, if you're walking in the woods, those little plants, those low plants down near the ground with the bright red leaves, those are blueberries. Look at the stems. If the stems are green, it's definitely blueberry. And the buds, if you look at the buds that are going to be next year's leaves and flowers, they are red. So you've got this green stem with red buds. And if you're there at the right time, it's going to be covered in these lovely, lovely red leaves. And among the green things that I've been seeing out there, hepatica. It's an evergreen. Also a wood fern called the Dryopteris carthusiana. I can't recall the... Anyway, it's a fern low to the ground, very small, got some scales on its leg. Lovely little thing. So while you're walking around out there, keep an eye out for the things that are still green on the ground, because they, more than likely, they will be green all winter and into next spring. That's the Phenology Show for this week. Thanks for tuning in. As always, if you have things to share, I would love to hear from you.